In less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world. And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July. And you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live, to exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday. As the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Everyone, this is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for joining me today. I am addressing you from a hotel room in Amarillo, Texas. You heard right, I'm in Amarillo, Texas, on my way home, back from Scottsdale, Arizona, just finishing up a weekend conference. And I want to share with you a couple verses. If I were to give this audio talk a title, I would probably call it The Great White Throne, Paul's Evangel, and Saint Hitler. Yes, you heard the title right. The Great White Throne, Paul's Evangel, and Saint Hitler. Now, you can add any other name to the saint at the end there. You can call it Saint Stalin or even Saint Judas. Now, what I just said would have probably got me stoned around 1776, but this is 2011, and it sure will get me a lot of nasty looks for what I'm about to tell you in this audio.
Yeah, well, you're just pissing everybody off today, huh?
But I want to turn to Romans chapter 2 real quickly. The Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 1, lists all these sins. And I have to admit, in my religious days, I spent all my time looking at those sins, and I used to point the finger at others who committed those sins, thinking I was above them. In Romans chapter 1, verse 32, it ends this way. It says, "Those who, recognizing the just statute of God, that those committing such things are deserving of death, not only are doing them, but are endorsing also those who are committing them." Back in my religious days, those who endorsed sins were the worst kind of people in the world. But now, since I've discovered grace, or more properly, since God has revealed to me, has made me realize His grace, I realize those who endorse sin aren't the worst people. The worst people are found in Romans 2, verse 1, when Paul says, "Wherefore defenseless are you, O man, everyone who is judging? For in what you are judging another, you are condemning yourself, for you who are judging are committing the same things." This is the crowd that says, "My sins aren't as bad as your sins," kind of group.
You know what the difference is between you and me? I make this look good.
They look at the sins of other people and they judge them for their sins. And Paul says in verse 4 that these people who judge others for their sins are ignorant, and in verse 5, they're hard-hearted. A self-righteous man is hard-hearted. The one who endorses sin is better off than the religious man who judges others for the same sins he commits. Now, notice in Romans 1 and 2, Paul is showing that his purpose in Romans is really to show us that all have sinned and are wanting of God's glory. Why? Because we need the background of sin so God can display His amazing grace. And that's what's going on here. Paul says in Romans 2:7 that to those indeed who by endurance and good acts are seeking glory and honor and incorruption, they'll get life aeonian. Now, I want you to notice in Romans 2, he's talking about a judgment based on acts. The Great White Throne in Revelation 20 is a judgment based on man's actions, what he does. But if you turn in Romans chapter 2, look at Romans chapter 2, verse 16. Paul says, in the day when God will be judging the hidden things of humanity according to my evangel through Jesus Christ. Now, what's an amazing thing about this verse is that we read here that God's judging in that future day, probably the great white throne, is in accord to Paul's evangel. Now, the great white throne judgment is based on man's acts. Paul's evangel says it's not of man's works or acts. So how can the judgment of the great white throne be based upon Paul's evangel? Well, the answer is this. Even in the judgment of mankind, there is hope. God will judge people on the basis of Paul's evangel. Sin is a necessary thing for God's purposes in the eons. He must have that background in order to display his grace. So at the great white throne, people are going to stand before God who were never given the faith to believe. They're going to be judged according to their acts, but there's going to be hope at that point because those people will one day be vivified and justified and reconciled to God, not on their acts. And even at the great white throne, these people are going to realize. They're going to realize that as they stand there before God, they're going to be told that they weren't given the faith to believe, that it's going to be necessary for them to go to the lake of fire and be destroyed for that last eon, but they will come out in the end happy and victorious because of the work of the Savior. All of God's judgments throughout history, the judgments of Sodom and Gomorrah, the judgments of all the people in all the past ages, all behind it, Paul's evangel was in operation. When God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he knew at that point that one day the people in Sodom and Gomorrah would be restored. They would be justified, vivified. They are objects of his love. But God couldn't reveal that. There's a perfect example in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there was a man named Joseph, and his brother sold him into slavery to Egypt. And Joseph became king of Egypt, and his brothers were brought down to him later on after there was a famine in the land, and the brothers had no idea that Joseph was ruling over the land. And Joseph, if you read the account, he wanted to tell his brothers that he was there for their salvation. The very act of them judging Joseph and selling him and mistreating him was the very means of their salvation. So is true of the cross of Christ. When men took Christ and crucified him, it was that act that saved them. But Joseph couldn't tell his brothers right away. They had to go through a process of sorrow and depression and famine before they can get their salvation manifested. And the same is true of all humanity. For the purposes of God in the eons, certain men are withheld from having faith. God does not give them faith. God must display his judgment and his indignation in certain individuals, certain vessels of destruction, only as the needed background. But the very people he judges, the very people that are objects of those judgments, are also objects of God's love. Paul's evangel is behind all of God's acts of indignation and judgment. So even at the great white throne, Hitler will stand there and God will say, "You were needed for my purposes. You're going to have to go to the lake of fire, Hitler. You're going to be destroyed for the last eon, but I'll bring you out at the end, justified, vivified, and reconciled." All of this is necessary for God's purposes. Now, we're not fatalist. Hitler's actions were awful. We don't like them. It's horrible reading about them. And I'm glad that Schindler tried to rescue all those Jews from the horrible persecution. I'm glad he did that because we're not fatalists. We like to see people delivered even now from suffering and oppression. But when you look back at the bigger picture, all of the sin and all of the awfulness that has gone on throughout the eons was a necessary background for God to display his amazing grace. So God is going to judge humanity in the future in accord with Paul's evangel. Even in the judgment of Hitler, even in the judgment of Judas, even in the judgment of Stalin, there is hope. It wasn't Judas's fault that he betrayed him. Satan had to enter into Judas. There was no way Judas could resist betraying his Lord. Hitler couldn't resist being who he was. Neither could Stalin.
That's very funny to me. Y'all ain't laughing though.
God will one day restore these men because they were necessary parts of God's judgments. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ will cover all humanity because even judgment is in accord with Paul's evangel. God is going to judge the world in accord with Paul's evangel, because one day they will come out justified, vivified, and reconciled, not because of their acts, but because of the accomplishments of Jesus Christ on Calvary. The worst sin ever committed in the history of the world is when men crucified the Lord Jesus. And yet that very crucifixion was the means of the salvation of all. Well, this is a glorious message. Read Revelation 20 and think about this. And I'm going to turn there. I know this message is going longer than normal. In Revelation 20, it says, "And the sea gave up the dead in it, and death and the unseen gave up the dead in them, and they were condemned, each in accord with their acts." Remember, Paul's evangel is not based on acts. "And death and the unseen were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death, the lake of fire. "And if anyone was not found written in the scroll of life, he was cast into the lake of fire." And I wrote in my margin, "Yet," right next to that verse, lake of fire, "yet Romans 2:16 and Romans 5:18 and 19, even though these people are going to be judged here at the great white throne, it's in accord with Paul's evangel. And you can bet your life when they stand before God at the great white throne, they're going to be thankful that they were used by God, even though they weren't part, they didn't have aeonian life, because they're going to be told in that day that they're going to come forth justified, vivified, and reconciled. And when we're all together at the consummation, we are going to praise God for the glory of his work, and that everything that took place was necessary for God to display his character."
Who's the man? Who's the man?
We all have roles to play in God's great epic story here of the eons, and we know ours, those of us who believe Paul's evangel. We're thankful to be part of God's aeonian purpose, and yet we look around all people today. As you go out your door today, as you leave your house, think of the words, "in accord with Paul's evangel." Everyone you see, even if they're not believers, comes under the crosswork of Christ as revealed by Paul, and one day they're going to be reconciled to God, vivified and justified. And they may not like you now, they may mistreat you, but every enemy you see today will one day be your friend, and that'll change how we view our fellow humanity. What a glorious message we have, friends. This is Dan Sheridan signing out from Amarillo, Texas. God is God, and he's the Savior of all mankind. We'll talk to you guys next time. I gotta run.